Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Thursday, August 11th, 2010. This is Rajiv S. Khanna for the Law Offices of Rajiv S. Khanna, PC, immigration.com. And this is a community conference call which is being recorded. If you do not wish your voice to be recorded, hang up or don't speak. This recording will be made publicly available. You may want to conceal your identity when you talk with me. Make up a name if you have a question to ask. I will start by answering the questions that have been posted. Merely by responding to the questions, it does not mean we have agreed to represent you and become your lawyers, nor does it mean that you are in any way obligated to have us as your lawyers. So, you know, both ways, it's basically just an information session. That said, let me get started. Make sure that the call is being recorded. 1 second, please. Okay, the call is being recorded. Now I'll start on the questions that have been posted. Time permitting, I will answer questions that are new or haven't been posted. First question, Sai for GC. He has a couple of questions. He was an H-1B. He started working on EAD. In case I want to go back to my same H-1B, and the H-1B is still okay till 2012, can I use the same H-1? Yes, but you have to go outside USA and come back in using H-1B visa. To convert from EAD back to H-1B, you have to step outside USA and come back with an H-1 visa. If my son is on AOS, he has not used his EAD, can he go for F1? Well, the problem is whether or not somebody on AOS can go on F1 has been a big issue for many, many years. USCIS has said, unlike H1, L1, H4, L2, F1 and F2 are not compatible with a pending 485 AOS. So it's okay if you're on H1, H4, or L1, L2 to have AOS going. But if you're on F1 or F2, we don't like the idea. But the question is, what do they do? Will they, decline my F1? I don't know the answer to that question. They have said it's not compatible. You can try. I know many people who got their F1 even when the 485 was pending. So the situation is pretty gray. Next question, HRC wants to know, he applied for his brother's case in Islamabad. It kept pending there for a long time, and then they got their passports back. So the question is, what should we do now? It looks like the case is on pause. Sir, I think you should contact your congressman's office. That's the best thing to do. If you go to immigration.com and type congressman, one word, C-O-N-G-R-E-S-S-M-A-N, it tells you how to contact your congressman. Okay? Contact your congressman. Tell them to intervene. The case should be taken care of. Next question is ethnic chick, reentry permit from Canada. Ma'am, let me start with one thing. We don't do DV cases. My knowledge of DV is extremely limited. I can answer questions generically about reentry permit, but I have no idea how particularly DV cases are affected. So you may want to talk to a lawyer, because I know that in DV there are certain requirements that you've got to reenter, but I guess you already have your green card, so I guess you're at par with everybody else. I'm assuming that you are, but I can't authoritatively say that you are. So assuming that you are like everybody else who's got a green card, let's begin the questions. Number one, what do I do for the signature of my 11-month-old son? Typically what we do is we have one of the parents sign, and we put there where the signature line is, father on behalf of minor child or mother on behalf of minor child. So you sign your son's name or your own name. Either way, I think it's okay. There is really no clear law on this issue. Let me rephrase that. If you call, actually, before you do anything, call the USCIS. It suddenly came to my mind that they had come up with some formula that they wanted us to use, although we are still using this formula that I just told you. So call USCIS information about how to sign. You can never apply a reentry permit from outside USA. You have to be physically inside USA. Okay. My mailing address on I-131 is of a friend who lives in New Jersey, but we live in Toronto. So Buffalo is closest for us. So you want to change your biometrics appointment. That also is something you'll have to check with USCIS. I do not know. Next question, Patabi 1979, EAD to first-time H-1. I'm here on L-2 visa working on EAD, planning to file H-1B this year. Can you please verify the correctness of my understanding? Upon filing for an H-1B, your petition results will be available anytime between 60 and 90 days. Make that easily up to 6 months, unless you file premium processing. Approved petitions are of two categories, 797A and B. 797A does not require, ma'am, I don't know A or B. The basic rule is if you get your I-94 with the 797, then you are okay to stay in USA. If you do not get your I-94, you have to leave USA for a visa stamping. Now, there is no bar if you don't have an I-94 on how soon you have to go. It depends upon you. As long as, you know, if you want to start your work on H-1, you've got to go get H-1B stamped. Otherwise, you are still on L-2. Okay? If you get an I-94 within USA, you are converted to H-1B as of the date of the trigger date, which is written on the notice of approval. So the notice of approval say H-1 valid from XYZ date to ABC date. Okay? So where it says from, that's the date on which you go on to H-1. But if you don't get an I-94 along with your 797, that means you are not yet converted to H-1. Therefore, you are still on L-2. Therefore, you can leave and get your visa stamping whenever you like. Visa interview appointment can be booked online. That is correct. Can this be done before landing in India? That is also true. It can be. So during the visa appointment interview take place, and the result is one of the following. Either you get approved, correct, or you get no decision. That is also correct, or visa rejected. All of this is correct. Next question, G-K-O-K Konda. Okay, travel on expired advance parole. Oh, yes, this is somebody who traveled outside USA on an expired advance parole by mistake, and then now their green card has been approved. So the question is there any action items for me? Well, I personally feel that you must inform USCIS that this case appears to have been approved in error, that you were outside USA. In fact, I would go so far as to file the 485. Let them reject it. At least if they come after your green card, you would have very good solid grounds that you tried to correct the situation. That's the way I would like to handle it. I would want to inform USCIS. Okay? So if you got your green card approval, it has been approved in error. And remember, they can always go back and correct their error. Then it could become a problem. Next question, Bhati Ram. Ram says, came to USA in 2001 on F-1 visa, and I have not traveled for 10 years. Now I want to go for H-1. Do you see any reason why an H-1B cannot be issued just because I stayed in USA for 10 years without traveling outside? No. That is not a ground for denial of an H-1 visa. Are there any legal grounds or law that could prevent visa office to grant me visa at U.S. Embassy just because I did not travel outside USA for 10 years? No, sir. I am not aware of any such law. Kindly advise, what is the best answer to give visa officer? No lawyer should tell you any answers. You tell the truth. Okay? As far as I'm concerned, not having traveled outside USA is not a problem. There are a gazillion other grounds on which an H-1 visa can be denied, but this is not a ground for denial of H-1 visa. Okay? Next question, one more time, wants to know, should I do an L-1B or H-1B? Generally speaking, if you qualify for an H-1B and L-1B both, I would always do an H-1B. Reason, H-1B is better for you as an employee. But the employer might want to do an L-1B because it gives you more options to travel and move around. Okay, if you want to go from client to client. I personally think L-1Bs are very difficult to get approved unless you have a very solid case for it. And the lawyer is right, an application can be made directly to the embassy in India, a consulate in India, if the employer has a blanket L-1 approval. So when they have a blanket L-1 approval, you can actually go directly to the consulate. Okay? I would prefer, and indeed, your attorney is right, there have been a lot of L-1B rejections. Next question is Adi. I have an H-1B visa stamped in my passport, which is valid till June 2012. Wife and son have H-4 but not stamped. We applied for green card in July 2007. We got EAD. We have a valid EAD. We do not have advanced parole. I work for a U.S. bank. You have to go to India for 3-month trips starting on Thanksgiving. And then get the H-4 visa stamp for my wife and son in India during first week of December and return back by Feb 12. Okay, and your visa is good till June 2012. So you're coming back by Feb. Okay, that's fine. My friends tell me that I should take advance parole, otherwise I might have problems entering while coming back. Why? Why? I don't think so. There's a slight chance my GC may get approved while I'm in India. Look, we've had cases where green cards were approved when people were in India. They were able to come to the border, and basically their green cards were stamped on their passports at the airport itself. So I don't see how advanced parole helps you any better than an H-1 visa does. Okay? So to me, of course, having an advanced parole is always nice. It gives you an additional option if something were to go wrong. For example, if you lost your job while you were gone, heaven forbid, advanced parole does help you better. But at the same time, as far as reentry is concerned, you know, if the green card is approved, having an advanced parole is no additional advantage over an H-1. Okay? So that's up to you. Personally, I would go ahead and apply for the advanced parole. There's no harm in it. And even if you don't get it, as far as I understand it, once you applied it, you're okay. You can, of course, check with CBP about this. They keep changing their mind every few months, but I believe it's okay. It gives you an additional option. Next question is Desi 08540. Okay. My question today are as follows. As per the law, two of the things every U.S. immigrant alien is required to do, file AR-11 whenever one changes address. That is correct. You, every green card holder, H-1 holder, F-1, everybody in USA who is not a U.S. citizen is required to file a form AR-11, which can be done online when you change address. It's got to be done within 10 days of the change. They must carry their immigration papers with them at all times. That is correct. Are both of these technically deportable offenses? Yes. If so, are they enforced by USA? But the problem is they can. You see, if they want to make an issue of it, they can make an issue of it. Why give them the ammunition? I would say comply with both these things. Sheetal Campbell wants to know, I'm an H-4, I have a homeopathic degree, can I have an H-1B? You see, the problem, ma'am, is this. You cannot get an H-1B for a job that does not require a bachelor's degree in a specific subject. In USA, as far as I know, unless in the state that you are working, a bachelor's degree in medicine or something like that is required, you cannot get an H-1. H-1 is only given for those jobs that require a bachelor's degree in a related subject. Okay? So therefore, an H-1B may not be possible. Super Kings, this is in regards to experience for a green card application. Now, what he's got is two jobs where, while, you know, in his experience letters, they show an overlap, you know, like a March or April month, the 2 months are overlapping. I don't think that's a big deal. They are both genuine good companies, and you have a reason. As long as you have, and you have enough experience, it's not like you need that month or 2 months experience. So I'm not worried about it. As long as you have a good explanation, which you do, I think you are fine. You got paid in from both companies. You had to stay back for a couple of months. I think you're fine. Next question, D. Harry Dhawan. H-1B extension stamping in the United States being put in 221G. Okay, so you applied for an H-1 through your employer who was a contracting company. They delayed you too much, so you changed jobs over to the client, and the end client's case is also under processing now. So your questions are, can I request to get my passport back from the consulate? Yes, basically you'll have to withdraw your H-1. All my belongings are in U.S. Is there any way I can request for tourist visa? You can ask them. I doubt if they'll give it to you. Can I also apply for another H-1B visa transfer? I wouldn't want to do that. At this point, I would want to wait out and see what happens with the end client's case. And I would want your end client to contact their congressman's office and see if they can hurry this thing along. Can I take any legal action? No, sir. Can I keep my green card application live from old H-1B employer, yeah, green card application can go on as long as they still have a job for you. That's no problem. Next question, Nanu. Wife admitted in port of entry with H-4 status, but my H-1 invalid. So wife was admitted on June 5th on H-4 when his green card had already been approved. So in this particular case, it is so difficult. This is one of those cases which is at the very fringes of the law. Nobody really knows what to do with cases like this. Obviously, you have two choices. One is to do consular processing center outside USA and do following to join. And the other one is to just take your chances. I do not believe she's subject to any unlawful presence problems, because once your 485 has been properly filed, you don't have unlawful presence issue anymore. You don't have to worry about the 180-day period. Okay? So both choices are there. If you want to send her outside USA and wait out her 824 and following to join, that's fine. Or just wait for the 485 approval here and see what happens. Either one is okay. It's a very difficult decision to make. I'm inclined to just wait and see what happens with the 485. Tired for GC, AOS interview after accidental approval for another I-45. Yeah, he had two I-45s pending, and USCIS approved his 485 with an employer that should not have been approved. Well, first of all, let me clarify one thing for you. A 485 is employer neutral. So it really doesn't matter who, if they approved a 485 attached to one I-140 or another, it doesn't really matter. Okay? I-485 is not associated with a particular employer. I-485 is associated with you only. Okay? So I don't think you need to worry about something like this. Again, I don't know all the facts of your case, but it looks to me it's not a problem. Consultant 007, like James Bond 007, says interfiling. Well, in interfiling, what happens is you only got one I-140 approval. Then later on, because of an appeal, an earlier I-140 also got approved. USCIS automatically gives you the earliest priority date that's available to you. What they do is they run monthly scans of the priority dates for each individual. Just make sure your A numbers are correct on all these filings. They run periodic scans, and then whichever priority date you have earliest coming to you, they assign that to you automatically. But you can always follow it up with a letter as well. Okay? That's how the interfiling process works. Next question, and this is not really interfiling, this is priority date transfer. Next question is from Srira, who says, I work as a researcher in university, but jobs are frozen and I will not be paid from September. Okay. If I get any other position within August, I would be able to transfer my visa without any problem. It certainly looks like it. You may not be able to start working till October 1st because university positions are quota exempt. But I don't see any problem with it. Is this possible anytime before 31st August? Yes. If your papers get to USCIS before your current status expires, you are fine. How long can I stay? There is no grace period, sir, not even a single day. And, in fact, if you go to my blog on forums.immigration.com, and I have posted a whole article there on how to apply for a tourist visa. I think if you do search for the words laid off, L-A-I-D, second word off, on my blog, you should be able to pull up that article. And it tells you how to apply for a B-2. Yeah, that makes more sense to me than anything else. Okay? There is no grace period, not even a single day. By the way, B-2 can be applied online also. Next question, AKR run. This is the question about entrepreneurs. Look, USCIS has announced the program, but they have not really given us any details. So at the moment, we don't have any details other than the policy announcement that they want to approve NIWs for entrepreneurs. So the entrepreneurs don't have only a choice of EB-5. if they can show a solid reason, they should be able to get an EB-2 NIW as well. But remember, an EB-2 is still is still 5 years backed up. You're not going to get a green card right away. Okay? Can you file as an NIW waiver while continuing to reside in India? Yes, you can. Do I have to come to U.S. on H-1B startup visa? No, you don't. But of course, if you already have a going business, things might be that much easier. Last question from Moni says, working under re-entry permit for green card. I'm a permanent resident for 5+ years, relocating to India but keeping options open, applied for re-entry permit, fingerprinted, not received yet. I'll pick it up at the consulate. That's fine. I was teaching at GMU. I would like to continue working online from India. That's perfectly legal. No problem. There's no limit. Sitting on Indian soil, you can work in USA as much as you want, or any other country for that matter. I have received an offer from GMU to work as a consultant and to teach online. Can I teach online for the next 6 months? You can teach online for the next 60 years. No problem at all. After what specific period of time are we not permitted to work for U.S. organizations? There is no limit. Okay? All right. That answers all the questions that I have posted. Folks, anybody has any questions? Let's start with those people who have posted questions. Press 5-star on your phone. 5-star. Press 5-star. I see 1, 2, 3 hands. One has been up for a while. 4, 5 hands. Okay. Let's start with the person who logged in the earliest. Area code, just give me a second. Area code 404. 404, go ahead, please. You're calling from area code 404?
Hello, Raju.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Hi, Raju. This is Sai for GC. Hi.
Hi, Sai. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for your all advices in my immigration journey.
Sure. Absolutely. My pleasure.
And also, I have a question. If I go out of country regarding my question that I recently joined an EAD and it's a few days, and still my H-1 is active, still 2002. So my question is that if I go out of the country and come back on AP and reinstate my H-1 with my old employer, is it still okay? I can go back to my employer and use the same H-1B?
That's a tough question to answer. I know for sure that if you go outside USA and come back on H-1 visa, you can continue working on H-1 for the same employer till 2012, okay? But can you do the same thing on advanced parole? I doubt it, but I'm not sure. There's no law on this issue.
Like they call it as reinstatement. Is that a new word?
No, there's no such word as reinstatement. Basically, if you re-enter using H-1 visa, you are back on H-1, okay? But if you re-enter on advanced parole, are you back on H-1? I don't know.
Okay. And regarding my son issue, because he's having H-4 as well as AOS, because I just few days back I joined an EAD, so I think probably automatically he will come under AOS also, I guess. So
that
in that
correct.
Situation, in
that
yeah, situation.
That is correct, because you no longer have an H-1, he no longer has an H-4.
Oh, so then it's the same thing applies to him also. If you come back on AP, still he's on H1, EOS only.
That is correct.
Okay. So one last question, like, what do you suggest, like, if he's staying on AOS is good or F1 is good? Because I'm a little worried about my case.
You can try an F1. If he gets it, great. If he doesn't get it, heck with it. He can go to school on AOS.
Yeah, because if he get the F1, so he need to go out of the country to activate it? Or
you can try getting it within USA. I don't think they're going to give it to him within USA.
Oh, within USA. Okay, because he's also having H4 still active, so that's what.
Well, the problem is you no longer on H1, so he's no longer on H4.
Oh, even in a few days, like yesterday only they applied AC-21, so today it will be on the desk, I guess, in the immigration. So if I apply online today...
It's not a question of when they find out. It's a question of what the law does to you. The moment you stop using your H-1, your family is automatically no longer on H-4.
Oh, okay. So, but it depends upon when they inform to the USCIS, right?
Don't know the answer to that question. How did you start using your EAD? Did you change your I-9? Did you inform USCIS? What exactly did you do?
No, I just joined, and now yesterday the company lawyer applied for AC-21.
You should be talking with them because there is some intricate details about when you joined, how you joined, that they can best advise you. Talk with your own lawyers. Generally speaking, the moment you don't have an H-1, the family doesn't have an H-4 right at that moment. That moment has to be determined by a lawyer.
Okay, so I joined like 5 days.
So you need to talk with your lawyer, okay?
All right.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. You're welcome. Area code 408936.
Hey, Rajiv. This is Nanu.
Hi, Nanu. How are you?
Thanks for doing this, first of all.
Of course.
It's a great help for others. So this is the question about wife being admitted in port of entry when my H-1 was invalidated because of approval. Yeah, I have
a couple of questions. Let me explain something to you. My concern is, let's take the case where she enters USA today and your green card gets approved tomorrow. She enters USA before your green card approval. If she actually does that, she has 180 days to file her 485.
Correct.
Okay. No question, no problem. 245K protects her.
Correct.
But what if she enters USA after your green card gets approved? Now that entry itself can be said to be, unlawful.
Correct.
But you never knew about it. So the question is, when does she lose her H-4 status or visa? Is it when she finds out about it, or is when the event occurs? If we go by the event occurring, that's very unfair because there is always a time gap. This is not a real-time situation. There's always a time gap between when USCIS approves something and when you find out about it. So, therefore, it is very difficult for me to find out what is the best way to go on this. My advice would be, my guess would be, let's stick with the 45 and see what happens.
Yeah, I get it. But I have a couple of follow-up questions.
Sure.
Can I ask? Okay. So, God forbid that this application is, her application is denied. When would she actually be out of status? Would it be backdated
to? Right away. There is no grace period.
No, would it be backdated to June 5th when she arrived?
No. It doesn't. She doesn't accrue unlawful presence, if that's what you're worried about. What happens is, let's say she entered USA today and she applied for her 485 10 days later. She's got 10 days of unlawful presence. Then 8 months the case stays pending, and then it gets denied. Another 10 days later you find out. The total unlawful presence is 20 days.
I see. Because the application of 485 itself was flawed because she could not
matter.
Have done that.
That doesn't matter. There is actually a 60-70-page memorandum on unlawful presence, and in that it's very clearly stated. I forget the page number. It's very clearly stated that if we accept your 485 application for filing, your unlawful presence time stops, even if the application is faulty.
I see. So, again, a follow-up question on that comment is she's actually out of India right now on an emergency advance parole because of a family emergency. So either way, her accrual is not, it's stopped, right?
It's not ticking. Yeah, there is no unlawful presence.
Okay. I also heard that there is a 30 days let-in policy, which is followed by USCIS for previously approved H-4 visas because of precisely this particular situation.
Never heard of it in my whole life. I have been practicing only 25 years.
Oh, okay. Okay. And the I-824 that you mentioned, right, is it actually required? Because I heard there are a few more options like Visa Omega Cable to be sent from third country.
No, it's not Visa Omega Cable. Basically, it's an attorney-certified 140. They have stopped accepting those. So, yes.
Oh.
I-24 is probably the only option.
That's a one-year wait. Okay.
Yep.
Is there someone I can speak to about it, CBP or USCIS, to get a correct stand on what her situation is, or is it useless at this point?
I think it's useless, but it doesn't hurt to ask. Make notes of whatever they tell you, time and date it.
Okay.
If you call them, it's good to know. Tomorrow, if we end up suing the government over something, we should have all this information.
Correct. Okay. I mean, I do have proof of when she got to know about my
not a
approval,
bad idea
so.
to find out from USCIS also anyway. You probably get wrong information anyway. So.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Rajiv.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thanks.
Somebody from area code 267 had their hand up and then they put it down. If you still have a question, press star 5. Next question, 732. Go ahead, please, 732-983.
Hello, Rajiv. I posted on under the name Super Kings.
Okay.
This is regarding the doubt that I had regarding my overlapping experience for about a couple of months.
Yeah, I don't see it as a big problem.
This is
actually a common occurrence. This is something we see pretty commonly.
Common, right? So you think it's not really a cause for
no problem. I don't see it as
because like I was thinking even without let's say my first company, I still have like close to 7 years of
7 years. Yeah, I see. You know what you should do when you fill the perm application. Sir, listen to me. When you fill the perm application, put down the dates you actually worked.
Okay. But then, should I go by the dates that I actually worked, or should I go by the what evidence I already have?
Not the evidence. Go by the dates you actually worked.
Okay. Or just in case, if I choose to, let's say, even not even show my first job on perm, is that fine? It's only for about, let's say.
I don't like doing that. Personally, I like to give out everything.
Everything?
Yep.
Okay, fine. No, like, fine. But is it necessary for us to show all the experience that we have, even though we, let's say, we don't consider...
Whatever the perm form says. I think the perm form asks you for the last XYZ number of jobs, whatever that is.
Okay, fine. So, okay, fine. Thank you.
Good luck. Bye-bye. Area code 267, go ahead, please. Area code 267...
Rajiv?
Yep.
Hello.
Go ahead, sir. Hello.
Yeah, the thing is, sir, actually, hello?
I can hear you, but just have to speak up a little bit. Your voice is very dim.
Sir, as I said, like I was asking regarding the reinstatement process. Do I need to withdraw the reinstatement application, sir?
You are the gentleman who went to Tri-Valley, never attended because the university closed and then moved to Northern Virginia, almost finishing up the second semester, correct?
Right, sir.
And you have a reinstatement application pending. Do you have to withdraw it at this time? No.
Okay.
You are attending classes.
Like,
just wait and watch. Don't be in too much of a hurry. Just wait and watch and see what happens.
Okay.
All right?
Fine. All right, sir.
Good luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Okay, I have three more questions left. Let's start with area code 612. Go ahead, please, 612. Area code 612-226. Okay, let me go on to the next question.
Rajiv.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Hi, Rajiv. This is Zara Dhawan. Posted a question on the H-1B 221G.
Yes, about changing over to the client and now still getting stuck in that process, sure.
Yeah, so basically the passport is with the embassy for almost...
Yeah, did you hear my answers?
Yes, but then I don't want to discontinue with my H-1 application. I want to keep it continue.
You can't. You can't get your passport back and continue the application. You can't do both. Are you there? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you have to make that decision. I would want you to finish the processing of the H-1. That's the smart thing to do.
Okay. Thanks.
Good luck, sir. Okay. Area code 530. Go ahead, please. 530263. 530263. Okay. Last question is 678, area code 678.
Hello?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Hi, sir. I'm a university student. I'm doing my last but one quarter. So
okay.
I'll have an employer to sponsor my H1.
Okay.
So what do you suggest, sir? Do you want me to...
File for an H1 as quickly as possible. Absolutely no question in my mind.
So how can I reach you, sir? Your email ID.
Oh, you want us to just send me an email to help@immigration.com.
help@immigration.com.
Help. Yeah,
okay.
help@immigration.com. I
so
will have the.
Srikant.
I'll have
Srikant,
the people
I'm going to send you an email.
I'm sorry.
My name is Srikant.
ठीक है श्रीकांत आप मुझे भेज दो. I'll take care of it.
ठीक है sir. Thank you so much.
All right. Good luck.
Rajiv.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. I can hear you. Hello, area code 530, go ahead. Oops. Area code 678, which one are you? I'm sorry.
Hello.
Are you 678 or 530?
678.
1 second. Okay, now I can hear you. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Rajiv, like, I wanted to find out, like, anybody can do the business on H-1 visa?
No. Up until just a few days ago, up until 28th July, if you had asked me, I would have said absolutely not. Now, it looks like they want to encourage people to do business on H-1, provided there's enough number of participants. Let me explain to you what I mean.
Okay.
See, and this is an important concept, guys. You may want to share with your friends also.
Okay.
It used to be that we could do H-1s for self-owned companies until about 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay.
I've done plenty of H-1s where the person started a company, then hired himself to the company as an H-1 employee. Absolutely legal. Okay. 5, 6 years ago, USCIS started saying, oh, no, 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 this is not an approvable H-1 because really, who is the employer? An employer is somebody who should be able to fire you. If you own the company, who can fire you? And we said, look, wait, you can't take that approach. That's a very restrictive view of employment. Basically, a corporation is not the same as an individual. It's a separate entity. They said nothing doing. In the 28th July policy announcement, they seem to suggest that if there is somebody else involved in the corporation who actually has the strength and the power to fire you, you can have an H-1 in a company in which you yourself own stock. So up until 28th July, my answer was no. After 28th July, the answer is yes. If somebody can fire you from the corporation as an employee, you can do an H-1 through your own company.
Okay.
Make sense? Or am I have I confused you more?
No, okay, I got it, actually.
वैसे मैं आपको ये बता दूं कि सारे confused हैं. This is basically, they have made some very nice, very pretty policy statements, but they have not followed it up with any guidance.
Okay.
It's like, you know, in India, I don't know if you guys are aware of it, but there used to be something called Directive Principles of State Policy. Ek to Constitution hai India ka, which is the law. And there's something called Directive Principles of State Policy, which is a listing of our aspirations. Ke hum jab hum chahte hain ki koi bhookha na rahe, hum chahte hain koi nanga na rahe, hum chahte hain sabke paas roti, kapda aur makan ho, ye ho, wo ho. These are directive principles. These are not really laws. This is not something we can put our fingers on. Sort of what this is what we have so far. This is what they want to do, but I don't have any detailed guidelines. So therefore, I cannot really give you any meaningful information right now. This is what I saw from that policy statement.
Okay. And on EAD, there will be no problem on that, right?
Oh, EAD, though, no problem. Once you have your 485-based EAD, as long as you don't quit your job, if you're a derivative and you have an EAD, you're perfectly fine. But if you're the principal, then as long as you don't quit your job, you can do anything else on the side you want.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Rajiv.
Oh, you're welcome. Good luck, sir. Folks, the 267 area code, hand up again. 1 second. Go ahead, 267. Area code 267. Did you have a follow-up question? Okay, guys, one more time. Anybody has any question before I hang up? Press *5 on your phone. Okay, 2 more questions. 3 more questions.
Rajiv.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, please. 267.
Sir, I'm looking at the traveling the UNI guy, sir.
Uh-huh.
The thing is,
did you have any follow-up questions?
Yeah, just one follow-up question, sir.
Ha, bolo.
The reinstatement application is almost 3 months, sir.
They are saying between 2 and 6 months from what I heard because they have so many of them.
Okay. Okay, because actually they have terminated my license also.
You are in Virginia, right?
I'm in Maryland, sir.
Maryland. I mean, mujhe Maryland ka to pata nahi, but people in Virginia were telling me that they are able to get their license renewed as long as they can show something is pending.
Okay, Maryland terminated my license. That was the problem.
Aapko dekhna padega. I don't know what the Maryland law is because this is a state law issue.
Okay.
But double check with the people in Virginia, see how they got their license renewal. Somebody was telling me yesterday.
Okay. That is the reason I was just concerned whether to go back to India and to which for karake aur unke bol ke wahi switch.
Aapka NTA to hai nahi, you can go anytime you want, but wapas aana mushkil ho jayega F1 F2 pe.
Nahi, NTA kuch bhi nahi hai
sir. Haan to ja to sakte ho aap, lekin to come back would be difficult unless you are willing to wait for an H1.
Okay.
Because when you go back, they always, before you go, when you apply for a new visa, they're going to question you about all your background. And if they find that you're not a, you know, what they consider to be an honest student, then they can always say, well, you know, we're not going to give you the F1.
Okay.
Okay.
So because what I was concerned is, I mean, in case if the same scenario happens as happened with Travel Alien, if I'm getting any negative response or denial from, because of UNVA, again, that would impact later on for my future.
All you can do is at this point either wait it out or leave. Ye to aap pe depend karta. I mean, I can't really tell you what is the best thing for you. Legally speaking, those are the only two options you got. Well, three options, of course. Third is to convert to another status. Because you can't transfer schools without withdrawing your application for reinstatement.
Right. Okay. Even if I go back to India, do I need to withdraw the reinstatement application, sir?
No, it's automatically withdrawn, but you should write a letter anyway.
Oh, write a letter, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, sir. Thank you, sir. Thanks for your advice.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. I have three more people. Let's see. Area code 347. Go ahead, please. Area code 347. Okay. Just say hello. Area code 347. 347-755. Okay. Next is 408. Area code 408.
Hey, Rajiv. This is Nanu again for wife being admitted at port of entry.
This is the one where green card got approved.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, go ahead, Nanu.
So just two more follow-up questions.
Sure.
I know it's difficult, but what would happen in her case? Is it a straight denial or would it warrant an RFE or interview at the most?
Usually RFE or an interview first.
So at least we can present our case there. That's
mm-hmm.
what I'm concerned
yeah.
about.
Absolutely.
Okay. So in case things go really wrong, the second option where we have to file for follow to join, is there a possibility of me walking into the home consulate in Chennai with my GC and I-140 original and open a case for her? Would that work?
I don't think they permit that, but you can certainly check with the consulate. Send them an email, say that, can I do that, or also can my attorney send you an attorney-certified copy of the I-140?
I see. So it's basically consulate-to-consulate dependent.
They used to accept it, but I don't think they're doing it anymore because of fraud problems.
Oh, I see. Okay. That's about it, Rajiv. Thank you.
Good luck to you. Okay, once again, area code 347. All right, I can't get you, so I'm going to put your hand down. Area code 917. Go ahead, please. 917.
Hi, Rajiv. You were discussing about sponsoring yourself on H-1B to start a business?
Yeah, uh-huh.
If you have a green card, can you start a business, or do you think you should wait till naturalization?
No. You can start a business, absolutely, on a green card.
Green card also, can you sponsor H-1B?
I started my firm when I had a green card.
Oh, okay. Okay. And you can sponsor H-1Bs also, I guess, if you start that.
Absolutely. I sponsored my first H-1B in the fourth year of my green card.
Oh, okay, nice. Good to know. My second question is, I'll be eligible for naturalization next year in March. Should I get an attorney to file my N-400, or you think any person can do it themselves?
Look, if your background is straightforward, there is no issue that you can feel uncomfortable about.
I have nothing. I don't even have a traffic ticket, so everything is fine there.
You are a very boring man. I have a traffic ticket every 3 months. So
the only problem, I don't know if it's a problem or not, I was in the country between 18 and 26 years old, but I was on an F1 first and then an H1, so I didn't register for selective service.
I don't think you have to, only if you get a green card during that time.
Yeah, I'm 35 now, so even the last 5 years I wasn't like 26, so is that irrelevant to me?
Yeah, I don't see any problem with it.
Oh, yeah, that was my only problem.
Yeah, I see, because this is a simple one-page application. I don't see the need for a lawyer. Of course, if you run into any difficulties, you can always contact us or another lawyer locally, wherever you are.
That's
what I tell people, you know, basically green cards through family-based cases and citizenship applications, only if there's any complication, I want you to get a lawyer.
No, mine was green card through employment.
Yeah, see, I don't see any, it's not, I don't see any problem with doing your own naturalization application.
Okay, can I do that though? Can I file it, and if they have any problems, can I get an attorney later? Can you do that?
We do it all the time. That's why what I tell people. You know, I mean, I must have, within this week, at least I must have told 5 or 6 people. Do your own applications. If you run into difficulty, call us.
Okay, cool.
Because what happens is, if they find something wrong, as long as you have completed the application, you have followed the instructions on the form, the most they can do is, they're not going to deny it outright. They'll send you a request for evidence and give you 6 to 8 weeks to respond. As soon as you get that, you call us.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, cool.
And we can take over the case midway.
Okay, and I think they call for interviews also, then you take the attorney or you go yourself?
No, then what I would recommend is, if you want to take an attorney with you, then I would recommend you get a local lawyer.
Oh, get a local lawyer, okay.
Huh, because then it's better for you, because if somebody goes from Washington, D.C. to Arizona or wherever you are, that's going to cost you so much more money.
Because
it's just
traveling.
Easier to get a local lawyer. And if there is, you know, some very esoteric and very difficult principles of law involved, then you can have 2 lawyers. We can take care of the difficult issue, and they can go to the interview with you.
Okay, gotcha. All right, awesome.
All right.
All right, thank you, sir.
Good luck, sir. Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, anybody else, hit 5-star before I hang up. 5-star on your phone. Okay, 1 more, 2 more, 3 more. All right, you guys take your time, huh? All right, let's start with area code 347. Go ahead, please. Say hello. Area code 347, you logged in at 1:55 p.m. I can't get to you for some reason. Area code 678. Go ahead, please.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, Rajiv. What is the process of, changing from H-1 to EAD? What is the process on that?
Well, there are 2 ways you can do that, and I recommend both of them together. What you do is, you have your employer send a letter to USCIS withdrawing the H-1. At the same time, you have your employer update your I-9. It's an internal form that they keep in their own files.
Okay.
With the EAD information. So instead of showing that you are working on EAD, their internal files will show that you're working on, I'm sorry, instead of showing that you're working on H-1, their internal files will show that you're working on EAD. So 2 things, inform USCIS withdrawing the H-1, and 2, update the I-9.
And like if the H-1 is getting over, so there is no need to inform
no
to
need
the
to
USCIS.
Inform.
So then directly you can just put EAD on the...
Absolutely.
And there is no need to inform to the USCIS or any other.
There's no need to inform anybody then.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Rajiv.
You're welcome. Good luck. Okay, let's see. Area code 925. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Rajiv.
Yeah, go ahead. I can hear you.
Yeah. Hi, Rajiv. My name is Ram. I hope you're doing well.
I
posted a question regarding the 10 years of... it's been like almost 10 years.
Yeah, you haven't been outside USA for 10 years. Yeah, I answered that question.
Sorry, sir. Actually, I just joined. I know you would.
No, don't make
like...
me repeat, guys. That's a waste of
sure.
my time. So my answer is no, that's no problem. Okay?
Okay.
The rest you can listen to the recording that we'll put out.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, area code 303. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Rajiv. Anuj. Rajiv, my question is regarding I-485 filing. Well, the thing is, I have a birth certificate in Arabic. My question is regarding, the translation thing. So since when you translate from Arabic to English, you know, literally translating it, the spelling of the name is a little different. You know, it can be a little different.
Spelling jo Indian names ki spelling hoti hai na. Hindu names or Tamil names or whatever names, they are always spelled phonetically.
Yeah, phonetic.
For example, right. Rajiv can be spelled R-A-J-I-V, R-A-J-I-V-E, R-A-J-E-E-V. There's a million ways to spell the same thing, and they're all correct.
Oh, okay. So if the translator, if the literal translation from Arabic to English is a little different, but the translation as it is in my passport If the translator translates what is exactly in the passport, it would not be considered as, you know, that the translator is doing something
ideally,
wrong.
Ideally, I would like it to be corrected so that the phonetic spelling matches whatever name you have been using.
Okay.
But if the translation cannot be corrected, then just go ahead and submit it with an explanation if government asks for it.
Okay, so you want me to get it translated, like, literally from Arabic to English and then explain why the translation to English is different from what it is in the passport?
Yeah, what I would do is, that's what I would do. Remember also that in order to get the translation done, it doesn't have to be done by a college professor or somebody who is, you know, a super expert. Anybody who is conversant with both the Arabic and the English language can do it. And they put a certification at the bottom saying, translator certificate. You can write this down if you want. Translator certification. I, comma, Abdul Nijad, whatever their name is, comma, do hereby certify that I am conversant with both the Arabic and the English languages.
Okay.
And that I have translated the attached document truthfully and to the best of my knowledge and ability.
Okay, okay.
Period,
okay, so that's
signed,
right.
Dated, address.
Right, and not necessarily has to be notarized.
It does not have to be notarized, no.
Okay, great. And I have a second question as well. Is it a problem if we have one I-140 already approved and the one which is already approved is through a future employment, but my current employer is also willing to, you know, file... sponsor my green card, and I would...
I don't see any problem with it. You can have 10 green cards going as long as you have the good faith intention of joining any one of them and all of them.
Really? Even 485?
Even 485. We do it all the time.
Oh, okay. So no questions will be asked, right?
No, yeah, the questions can be asked. Who can stop questions from being asked?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Answers should be given truthfully, accurately, you know. If your answer is, look, I can join any job, whichever comes first, that's fine.
I see. Okay, cool. All right. Thank you so much, Rajiv.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thanks.
Okay, let's see. I have 408 again. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Rajiv. This is the same guy, wife admitted at port of entry.
Right.
If things go wrong, would you be willing to assist us in this case?
Sir, I have to make a living also. I'll be happy to.
No, I don't know. Earlier when I heard your call, you did not take care of DV cases and things like that. So
no,
I didn't know.
There are things that we don't do. But, you know, H-1s, L-1s, investor visas, anything that has to do with employment-based immigration,
mm-hmm.
that's completely up our alley. That's all we do.
So you can, you're willing to assist
cases. Yeah, we do some very, very difficult cases in other areas. Like in family-based cases, naturalization when things go really, really wrong,
okay.
Criminal defense or compliance issues or government audits, that's the kind of work we do.
The reason is for 485, I heard there's no MTR or appeal. So
there is MTR,
how...
there's no appeal.
Oh, okay. Then it's okay. Then
MTR does not confer any status upon you. So each case is different. Don't worry so much. I think she's going to be fine.
Okay. Thank you, Rajiv, and have a good day. Thanks.
You too. Good luck. Okay, guys, I guess we are done for this call. One last round. Anybody has a question, press *5 on your phone. *5. Area code 347, you keep putting your hand up, but I can't talk with you. I have unmuted you. Well, let me give you a call. I have your number. Let me give you a call, okay? Hang up now, 347, hang up. I'll call you back. I have your number. All right, folks, good talking with all of you. I guess that's pretty much it. I will see you in a couple of weeks.